I find life to be difficult. There's so many demands, so many questions. There's so many things to do. There's so many opportunities that I can do well, and also simultaneously so many opportunities in life that I can fail at, right? So many ways that I can mess things up. I need God's help to get through every day. And I just don't want to get through the day. My desire that at the end of my life, the Lord would look at me and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I want to be all that God wants me to be. I want to do all that God wants me to do. And that's a big deal. But I think we would all agree today, most of us today, that as life ratchets up the pressure, we simultaneously know that God is calling us to do something and to be someone. And it seems harder than ever to keep all that together. Anybody can agree today? As we look at our lives, it just seems like the world is spinning a little bit faster, doesn't it? We used to have time to, you know, let down our hair, so to speak, and breathe. I think it seems like that time has all but gone. It's harder than ever to keep everything together. And if we consider our roles, okay, our roles as a spouse, if you're a spouse, or your role as a parent, or if you're a child, your role as a child, or your role as an employee, maybe employer, or a student if you're still in high school and college, or your role as a neighbor within your community, there's things that God wants you to do. Your role as a citizen of the United States and of New Jersey and the particular towns that you live in. For some of you, you may be a coach of a sports team, or there's other clubs and things that you're involved in. Listen, we know that God is calling us to be a Christian first in every one of those roles. And that can be draining. It can be draining. And here's the reality of it all. Our lives matter. Okay? See, I think the devil would want us to go through life and just run through the motions, and all of a sudden we die and we get dropped in a hole. And we just never found time to do the things that we knew that God called us to do. But today, our lives matter. Our choices matter. Our wisdom, or the lack thereof, matters. Our strength to get through the day matters. You ever just not have enough strength to get through the day? Our strength matters. Here's something else that matters. The pliability of our hearts. How soft our hearts are. This world can leave us so calloused and hard, right? The softness of our heart, the sensitivity of our heart matters. The moments in which we feel drained and exhausted, those moments where we have nothing left, those moments matter. Even though our lives are too busy, too complicated, too draining, here's the truth. Our lives are too important to go without the infilling power of the presence of God. Did you know that? Our lives are too important. There's too much at stake. God has called us to be something, to do something, and we can't do it on our own. Here's the truth. Unfortunately, many people live their lives every day without the active presence of God in their lives. Even Christians live their lives without God's active presence. And listen, they do so at the detriment of their loved ones, even the detriment of themselves. They do so at the detriment of all they come in contact with, whoever they would see as they go through their day, and even beyond that, people who we would touch around the world through missions giving and other things. When we go through life without the active presence of God, we do so at our detriment and the detriment of others. It's not a good thing. And listen, that's not just if you're a Christian, you automatically function every day in the active presence of God. Any of us who, we have the Holy Spirit within us as we're Christians, but you know, even if you love Jesus, you just run out of gas, don't you? Right? You just get tired. You get burnt out. There's too much at stake, though. So this morning, we are going to talk about grace. Going to talk about God's grace. Many people try to do things to make God give them his grace. Many people go through life trying to do things to get God to give them his forgiveness and his blessings and his power. And this morning, as we look at the word grace, we're going to be using a larger definition for grace. Here's a definition on our screen. I Googled it, so it's got to be great, right, if it was Googled. So it says here, grace is the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. Google did a good job today with their definition. So we usually use grace meaning that God just brings forgiveness, right? That he gives us his grace or his righteousness. We're just going to broaden that a little bit and really focus on the unmerited favor of God as manifested in all the bestowal of all the blessings that God gives us. Everything that God gives us is because of his grace, right? He doesn't have to give us anything. So today, as we look at grace, we're going to define it as God's forgiveness, which it is, but also just the blessings to get through life, physical, material, spiritual blessings, right? And also God's power. When God gives us his power, it's a gift from God. It's God's grace. So today we mean all of the blessings from God. Again, his forgiveness, his blessings, physical, emotional, mental, relational, financial blessings, spiritual blessings. And God gives us the power to do all that he's called us to do. That is good. I'm going to read it again. God gives us the power to do all that he's called us to do, right? Side application. If you're struggling in an area of your life where you're pushing and pushing and pushing and the door never opens, right? It may be that God's not calling you to do that, right? Because God provides, he equips all those who he's called. Sometimes we beat our head against the brick wall. Sometimes God will knock down that brick wall and make it a door. Sometimes it's just a wall, right? Right? I joke and say that I want to be in the NFL, right? Because I see players who are like 6 foot, you know, 245 pounds. And I tell my wife and my daughter, I'm like, I'm 6 foot, I'm about 225, so I need about 20 more pounds and I can be in the NFL, right? So I just need to stop at Henry's Hots a little bit more, right? It's an awesome barbecue place in Hamilton, Folsom, you have to go. Or eat some more Italian food and I'll be in the NFL. I just need more power, more muscle. The truth is, I don't think God's called me to do that. Right? So eat as much as I want. Probably at my age, that window is it's probably a wall, and I'm probably not going to be able to go through that. But God gives us all the grace we need, forgiveness, blessing, and power. Let's talk today about some ways that people search for that. Sacramental churches are churches that perform rituals to receive God's graces. Maybe you've heard some of these. Maybe you've come from some of these. There are 7 sacraments or 7 rituals that many churches perform and people go through the motions of to receive some sort of grace from God, his forgiveness, blessing, and power. Some of these churches, for example, would be the Catholic Church or the Anglican Church. Okay, one of the sacraments that they perform is baptism. Right? When a child is little, when a child is born, they take that child and they sprinkle it with water. And at that baby baptism, infant baptism, they believe that that child then becomes a child of God. And that they become members of the church and they receive the Holy Spirit for the first time. Another sacrament is confirmation, where a child will grow up, I think usually during high school, they go through some classes and things, and then they receive the Holy Spirit. That's what, once you are confirmed, they believe that's when you receive the Holy Spirit. They have something else that they call the Eucharist, which we're kind of familiar with. We look at it differently, but the word Eucharist means thanksgiving. Does anybody know what the Eucharist is? What that would be in our world? Anybody heard that term before? Right? The Eucharist, right? The Eucharist is communion. We just use a different word. The word Eucharist means thanksgiving. It's a good word. We give thanks to God for Jesus who died and rose from the dead. Some churches call it the Lord's Supper. Also a good word. We generally refer to it as communion or Holy Communion. But they believe that when you would go through the ritual performed by the priest, that you receive the Lord Jesus himself as you take the communion emblems. Okay, so as you drink the cup, it becomes the literal blood of Jesus. And as you take the cracker, it becomes the literal body of Jesus. And as you partake in communion, you have the literal body and blood of Jesus going within you. So they would hold to that. They would hold to penance. That if you need to receive forgiveness and peace, you would come and confess your things to the priest. They believe in the anointing of the sick or last rites. That's where the priest would go and he would pray and anoint, and that person who was sick would end up being right with God so they can go to heaven one day. The sixth sacrament would be holy orders, where they believe that if a person is wanting to become a priest or a bishop or a deacon, that the church would pray, the priest would pray, and that person would receive a permanent spiritual character and a special grace of the Holy Spirit, so that they can have power and grace to perform. And the last one is marriage. They believe that when a husband and wife come together, that the priest would do the ceremony and the ritual, and the husband and wife would receive God's special grace and power and blessing to be able to function as faithful spouses and good parents. How many of you have heard of these? You're kind of familiar with the sacraments. Okay. So the idea is this, that as the priest would perform these sacraments or these rituals, the real blessings of God would be upon those people. The Catholics believe in something called ex opere operato. There's Latin for you. It's as good as I'm going to get. Ex opere operato. It's a Roman Catholic stance, which means this: by the very fact of being administered. So what it means is, as the priest is administering these things, right? The priest, who is an ordained priest, who's properly ordained, when they do the ritual, the person on the receiving end receives all of the blessings of God. Okay? Because the ritual is done. So as the priest is sharing communion or sprinkling the baby, right, with baptism or confirmation, regardless of the priest's actual level of holiness, okay, the priest could be the greatest person or the worst person. Doesn't matter. If they're ordained and they do the ritual brings God's graces. Okay, and on the other side, the person receiving does not even have to have faith at all. Okay, the person receiving simply has to be open somewhat to receiving. So they have to be just not, I guess, hard-hearted and hating the priest, right? So I guess you can't chain somebody down and just do it. But if they're at all open, the blessings happen because of the ritual. Does that make sense? That's why in their theology, when you dedicate the baby or when you baptize the baby becomes saved and the baby has no idea what they're doing. But they say before the baby goes through the ritual, like when you're in a parking lot, don't trip and fall, right? Because the baby won't know the Lord. But once you perform the ceremony, that baby is saved regardless of anything else. Or once the young person receives confirmation, they receive the Holy Spirit, whether or not they even love Jesus. I remember being a youth pastor and one of our kids went through confirmation. They came back. I went through confirmation, Pastor Jim. I have my certificate. They received the Holy Spirit. They didn't receive Jesus yet. You know, they never asked for forgiveness of their sin. They did the ritual. So people are hungry and seeking God's real forgiveness. And when churches control the forgiveness of God and say, I will give you God's forgiveness if you do these things, here, God has forgiven you. It's not really what the Bible says. Also, people seek God's blessing. We need God's blessing. We talked about how life is crazy, right? We need God's blessing. We need his blessing for our emotions. We just get so drained and burn out. We need God's blessing financially. How many of us go through things and you figure out your bills and things are tighter than you would have thought or you would have liked? We need God's blessing mentally to help us relax. So many of us suffer with anxiety. Those blessings are not controlled by any church that just has them in a box and they give them to you if you go through the motions. And again, for the last rite, somebody could just be laying in bed unconscious. And if you do this sprinkling or whatever it is you do, that person's going to heaven. Even if they didn't even want to, they're going to heaven because the ritual was performed. And the other thing, power, right? Talks about forgiveness, God's blessing, and God's power. Power from God is not controlled by a church or by a pastor or by a priest. The power of God is given by God. Okay? So you need power in your marriage. You don't have to have somebody make you jump through a hoop and then they bless you and then you have that power and beforehand you didn't have it. Right? We don't get power because of a ritual. We get power because God gives power directly from him. Makes sense, doesn't it? God is the bestower of all of the gifts. It's not it's not gifts that are given because you go through something. It's gifts that are given from God by faith. Faith happens when we believe in God and Christ and we express that through wholehearted, trustful obedience. Like I said, people are desperate to receive these graces from God, forgiveness, blessings, and power. They realize their lives are hard. They want to live well. They want to glorify God. Their lives matter. They have to go through and point people to Jesus. And there's too much at stake. So they try and try and try to get God's power. How sad is it, though, for people who can go through the motion to get the power, but miss the power? They can go through the motion to be forgiveness, to be forgiven, but they can actually leave just as set on the course of hell as when they walked into a building. Because their heart wasn't changed. They didn't change. Or going through life without God's blessing. Struggling through life on your own. Well, today we're going to answer the question, what are people like you and I to do? Open up your Bibles to 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. This morning we're going to see what the Bible says about our need for rituals to be performed to give us what we need. God's word does give us the answers to the questions of this life, and we can be sure that today God has not left us alone to not figure out how to get the grace that we need. And by grace, again, larger definition, the forgiveness, blessings, and power. God has not left us on our own. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4, if you have the YouVersion Bible app, we're on there if you click events and things. If you need help with that later on today, Pastor Bob's going to be able to have a session up front right up here by the screen to help you if you need help with the technology side of things, website or app. So right after service, he's going to do that. Let's pray today that God will help us as we get through his holy scriptures this morning. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray today, Jesus, that you would help us as we read your word. Lord, today we do so not in arrogance, certainly not, but in complete humility. We just pray today that you would speak to us. Lord, we pray that you would have your way, you would shape us, you would guide us, and we would leave this place relying on you in a way that your scripture tells us to. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. Verse 2, may God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Help us, Lord, as we make application. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. If you glance through this passage, and I realize you're looking at it for the first time, who gives us grace and peace? God. May God give you not just grace and peace, even more grace and peace as you continue to grow. Verse 3, God has given us, do you see that word? Everything we need. The Greek word is interesting. Anybody want to guess what it means? It means everything. How do you like that, right? Preacher's joke. Awful, isn't it? True. Greek word, it means everything. It means God has given us everything we need. Is there anything that God is withholding from us that he's not going to give us unless we do particular things? Because see, here's the scary thing with that. If you don't know the steps, how could you ever receive the grace that you need? There's not a hidden thing somewhere that God's like, I have forgiveness for you. I have blessing for you. I have power for you. But it's kind of secret. And if you go through the right hoops, we'll give it to you. That's not the case. He has given us everything we need. Everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this. By how? Coming to know him. Coming to know him. You see, when we come to Jesus and we trust in him, we have the greatest God ever who wants to work in us and bring us blessing. If you have blanks on your bulletin or on the YouVersion app, here's the blanks for you. Here's the main thesis of today's message. God's forgiveness, blessing, and power are free and available to all who seek him. There's a little typo in your bulletin. It said God's grace, but by God's grace, broader definition, we're kind of breaking it up today. If you're using your paper bulletin, you can write forgiveness, same difference. God's forgiveness, blessing, and power are free and available to all who seek him. Look, they do not come from a church or a ritual. They come from God. I can't, bless you, I can't control God's blessing in your life. Aren't you glad? Right? Amen? Because what if you made me mad? Could go to hell for that because I just won't pray for you. Right? Listen, I'm not that important. Okay? I'm not that important. I can't withhold any of those things from you. You don't have to do anything that I would ask you to do. God's grace, blessing, and power. They're what? They're free. There's no check that you have to write to anybody. It's free. What else? It's available. It's there. For some of you who had, you know, Christmas as a kid around a Christmas tree, maybe the story would make sense to you. But can you imagine walking down the steps and seeing a pile of gifts, maybe like this? It's available. It's free. Right? It's free. And when Operation Christmas Child goes out, that's how it is. They share Jesus and they give gifts. And it's free. God's grace and power and blessing are free, and it's available. It would be like the person who, there's a pile of gifts under the tree, and they just don't open them. See, God wants to give you his forgiveness, blessing, and power. But you need to seek him. You need to take the gift that he has. There's an old story you've probably heard me say. We don't know if it's real. It's just an illustration. But what would it be like if we go to heaven and we're walking around getting the tour, and all of a sudden there's a big warehouse? What's that warehouse for? We tell Peter, because Peter's, you know, guarding a gate. He's giving us the tour, right? What's that warehouse for? And he says, oh, we needed a place to store all the blessings that God had for you that you just didn't ask for. Could you imagine? All the blessings, all the packages, the times when you were lonely and scared, God had his presence to meet you in the dark place, and you just didn't ask him for it. That day when you were so frustrated, you wanted to just snap necks. Anybody ever get there? Of course you do. You're like, ugh! God had his peace, and we just didn't ask him for it, right? And you just went and snapped necks. Anybody? Right? We all, no doubt, have gifts from heaven that we didn't open. My prayer is that number would not continue to grow. That from here on in, we would receive everything that God has for us. God's forgiveness, grace, and blessing, his power are free and available to all who seek him. In regards to salvation, you've heard of this verse, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Salvation is a gift from God. Has nothing to do with works. There's nothing you can do to get it. There's no hoop to jump through. You're either saved or you're not, and it's only by grace through faith. That is so important that was one of the things Martin Luther nailed to the door of the church in Wittenberg. When he saw the church and he said, no, brothers, I love you, but you're wrong. Nobody's saved because you say they're saved. Nobody's forgiven because you say it. They're forgiven because they come through faith by grace. And that alone. So today we have two ordinances that we're going to talk about. There's two ordinances that we do. We see them in the sacrament list of other churches, but we use a different word. A sacrament, again, has the idea of if you do the thing, you get the blessing. If you do the thing, you get the blessing. If you don't do the thing, you don't get the blessing. And again, today isn't a slam on the Catholic Church, because the Anglican Church is the same, and there's many other churches that are the same sacramental churches that believe you do the thing, you get the blessing. You do the thing, you get the blessing. We have two things that God has told us to do that we believe as a church, but we don't call them sacraments. We call them ordinances. We just changed the word for that. And that word is because we believe that God's told us to do them, but we don't get a blessing to do these things, but as we do them, we're doing them because Jesus just said so. We're doing them in obedience. And Jesus may bless us for obeying, but it's not a hard and fast rule like, do this, you get this. Because what happens is we end up doing things just to get stuff, even if our heart isn't in it. Right? We just want something because we can all try to manipulate God. I want God to do this, so I'm going to do this, and God has to do that. The Lord doesn't play those games. So we follow two ordinances that we believe Jesus told us to do. Remember, they had seven. We have two, and let me share them. You know what they are. The first one is water baptism, Matthew 28, 19. Jesus said, of course, go into all the world, preach the gospel, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus clearly told us to baptize people in water. So that's why we do that, right? That's why we do that. It's the first thing we do as a Christian is we obey God and we're baptized. First thing of obedience. Now, we don't get baptized so we can be forgiven, right? You see the difference? We don't get baptized to receive Jesus or to receive the Holy Spirit. In fact, it's the opposite. We get baptized because Jesus said so, and we've already committed our lives to him. We've already found forgiveness. So here's the good news. If today you want to receive Jesus, we would love to baptize you in water. We can schedule that because we can't do that right here. My pool is cold, but we can do it, okay? Or we can find a place. You better be quick, man. You know, it's only getting colder. But if you want to get baptized, we can do it. Or we can find a warmer spot if you can find a place. And but we get baptized because of what God has done. It's our chance to obey. Oh, here's the good news. If you die on your way to the baptism, you're still going to heaven. Okay? Because the baptism wasn't to get us saved. It's because we are saved. Here's a great photo. Some of you have seen this. Over the weekend, the Eagles wide receiver, Marcus Johnson, he wrote this, first time being baptized, this was this past week. Corporate worship is a beautiful thing. Cleansed and reborn in Jesus' name, wholeheartedly. And he's getting baptized in Carolina because they just played the Panthers, right? And beat the Panthers. Okay. And at the hotel before the game, I want to follow Jesus. Well, let's baptize you. And look at all the players holding hands and praying for. Isn't that awesome? God is so good. And thank the Lord, you know. And here's his cousin. So proud of you, cousin. Your dad sent this to me last night. I was so happy for you. Good luck tonight. Well, thank the Lord. They won their first place in the division, top team in the NFL. Woo! Okay, that had nothing to do with the message, but isn't that pretty good? There's another team. Maria's not here today to say that to, but there's another team that could use some of this. They wear gray and have little blue helmets, little blue stars. They could use some of that. Okay. Obviously, that's a joke. Moving on, the second one is this Holy Communion. We took this today. Why? Because Jesus said this, do this to remember me. So you see, Jesus said these two things, do this, right? Do this, do this. So we do it, but we don't take communion. We're going to do that. We didn't do that yet, did we? We're doing that at the end. In my mind, we already did. We're doing it at the end. We take communion not to get forgiven. It's because we've already talked to God and we asked him for his forgiveness and he washed us clean. That's why we partake. There's no special merit. We do it to show faithfulness to Jesus. So let's wrap this up here today. Perhaps you're asking yourself, so what am I supposed to do? Here's the application today. Seek the giver of grace for the grace that you need. God is the giver of forgiveness and blessing and power. You need to seek him. You need to seek him. If you don't know him as your Savior, the first step, if you don't know Jesus, the first step is this. Admit that you're a sinner. Confess your sins. Fess up. Come to God and admit. He knows he watched you do everything. You may feel shame. He knows. He wants to take that away from you, but your first step is confessing it to him. Come and talk to the Lord. The next step is to place your trust in Jesus fully. He died in your place to pay for your sins. And he rose from the dead to show the world that his death did pay for that, that he was victorious over death. He died in your place. Ask him to forgive you of your sins, to wash you clean. Because he paid the price for your sin, he's able to take away your sin. Ask for his forgiveness. The last part, and I am certain, to be honest with you, I am certain that this last part is the part that we miss as Christians all over the place. Make him the Lord of your life. This is where we fail. we make Jesus the Lord of maybe our Sunday mornings, right? Or we give him part of our life. We have to make him the Lord of our life. What does that mean? That means we stop living life our way. We repent of our sins and we stop doing that sin with God's help. And we don't just stop doing our sin, but we start living for God. We commit our lives to him. So it's not just stop the bad. We come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want you to be the boss of my life, the Lord of my life. You get to say. More than social media, more than a political party, more than a sports team, you get to say what I do. And not just part of our life, all of our life, all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength. You've heard the verses. I think as Christians in America, not just us, but I mean as in our country, I think we're failing at that. We compartmentalize Jesus. We put him in a box and we want him to stay there. He wants to be Lord of our lives. And listen, when you do that, God will forgive you. It's not as easy as going through the motions, but I'm telling you, it's real. It's real. And when you come to him and ask for his forgiveness and you give it all to him, God, I give you everything. I believe you died. Forgive me. I want to follow you. When you do that, he forgives. Absolutely. And commit yourself to following him. Get into and regularly attend a good Bible-believing church. Get into a church family. Let people rub off on you and grow. Get into God's Word. Pastor Bob will help with a YouVersion app later, perhaps if you need help. See him after church. Get into God's Word. Personally, I don't like electronic Bibles for reading. I like old-fashioned paper ones usually. That's fine. Awesome. Get into God's Word one way or another. It doesn't really matter. Get into God's Word. If you don't know him, know him. The other part of the application is this. If you do know him, here, listen. If you do know him, if you're already a Christian, begin to seek him for all of the graces he desires to provide you. Begin to seek him for all of the blessings and forgiveness and power he desires to give you. Here's a verse for you. James 4:2. The second part of verse 2 and verse 3, it says this, you have not because you ask not. You don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it, it says. And then when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong and you only want to give yourself pleasure. Here's the thought, seek God and ask. Again, that whole warehouse in heaven filled with gifts that we just never receive from God. You have not because you ask not. Let's really seek him. Seek the giver of grace for the grace that you need. God promised to give you blessings today. He will give you all the blessings you need to do all that he's calling you to do. Matthew 7:11. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? God will give you good gifts if you ask him. He will give you all the power you need. Luke 11:13 says, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He will give you all the power you need. See, you don't need to do something or go through some mechanical thing to receive God's blessings and power. He's in heaven poised and ready to give it to you. You just have to ask. Don't get tired of this life and go through the motions. Don't live life on autopilot. That's the tendency that we all do. Luke 11:9-10, Jesus says this, so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Here's the inspiring part as we go to prayer and communion. It's this. Through the infilling, empowering presence of God, we can live life. through the infilling, empowering presence of God, you and I, we can live life to the fullest and do all that God's called us to do. Isn't that good? That's there for you and I. When we're exhausted, God will give you all the forgiveness, all the blessings, and all the power that you need. And also, he's going to help you make an eternal impact on your family and friends. We know that the eternities of our family and friends are so important. Okay? And when we go through life and we're too busy to share the hope of Jesus, that's a bad thing. But God will give us the power and strength and blessing and the ability to be a light in this world to those who desperately need him. So the good news, the inspiring thing today is God's gifts are there. God's gifts are there. He wants to bless you today. I don't have to worry about having the power and strength for tomorrow because God's already at tomorrow and he promises me he'll give me everything I need to do everything he wants me to do. Amen? And the same is true for you, for all of us. And he also will give us all the blessings that we need to reach out to our family and friends and share with them and help them find heaven as well. Our loving Heavenly Father wants to, desires to, seeks to bless his children. And he wants us to develop a habit of asking him, seeking him consistently. God wants us to do that. So ask him, how often? How often do we need God's grace? Every day, don't we? How about like many times a day? How about when you're at work and the boss calls you in the office? Instead of going in the whole time just cussing under your breath or biting your lips, how about go in prayerfully? You don't have to make it a public thing at all, but just in your heart. Lord, I need your power for this meeting, right? And God says, okay, I love you. Here's my power. God, I'm scared and I don't know what to do. I need your help. God says, okay. I love you so much. Our Heavenly Father is so good. He blesses us here. God, I don't know how to even share you at all with my family member who hates you. Give me the ability to listen and not lash out at them in anger. God says, okay, trust me. We'll go in this meeting, ready? Together. Because I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be right by your side. I'll be holding your hand and guiding your heart because I love you and I love your family member who doesn't know it yet. I will help you. And we can be people who live with the blessings of God every day. And they don't just come when the church is open. They don't just come when Pastor Jim or Pastor Bob's around to do something for you. 3 o'clock in the morning, God will bless you. God is good. Amen. Don't miss his blessings.